This is KLLGLP 97.9 FM in Willits, California. I'm Greg Schindel, train singer, and we are now boarding the Bipolar Express. Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga up the hill. Puffin' and a-chuggin', you know that engine will reach the summit and go down the other side. Whoopee! What a ride! Clickety-clackety-clickety-clackety-click. Look at the engine, that's old 45. Fired up and ready, she seems to come alive. Listen to that wailing whistle all round the countryside. Whoopee! What a ride!
Woo! Yes! Yes! Whoopee, what a ride! What? A ride? Hey, are you riding in your car right now? Are you in your car? Or are you home listening? You know, the BPE repeats Saturday night at 10 p.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. So, great, you know. Fall asleep while riding the Bipolar Express. You never know where you'll end up in dreamland. And then Thursday at 10, which this is as live as you're going to get me. So stay tuned to your hometown radio, KLLG LP 97.9, right up here in Willits. Yes. Hey, let's grow together, Little Lake Valley. So also, before I get too far into myself, mark your calendars for William Shakespeare's The Twelfth Night. Shakespeare in Willits, you can't get much better than this, let me tell you. And believe it or not, each night, the Willits performances continue to charm, amuse, and ripen with the characters and meaning. It's over-the-top acting by our local, very talented actors. Don't miss it. I certainly won't. I'm heading in there this weekend. So, and this is going to run right on through November. There are Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. A matinee on Sunday. So, this is another gift for Willits. Willits High School Auditorium is where this is happening. So, check posters and, of course, the Willits Weekly for details. That's the 12th night. Ooh, right here in Willits. And, excuse me, you can still catch the train singer on the Scum Train on Saturdays in November. The train leaves at 10:30 from Willits. And at 10:30 from Willits Depot, also on Sundays, you can be entertained by the world-renowned... Malachi, the singing conductor, yes. Hey, and believe it or not, the Christmas train returns again. So... check your schedules for Willits and Fort Bragg for times and departure dates at www.skunktrain.com. Skunktrain.com. Hey, and by the way, we're looking for some elves. We need about, 8 of them all told. So come on down to the depot this weekend for sure if you'd like to be an elf on the Christmas train. It's a lot of fun. Lots of people, too. Now, last week, we got into a... pain-free world. Oh, God. And it only lasted during the show. Anyway, in Albert Sijo's analgesia pain-free poem. But my wife and I have had nothing close to a pain-free week, by the way, as we both had oral surgery. Yikes! Old people losing it! Ouch! My wife's surgery was termed major trauma. It's not like captain or sergeant, but this is major to the face. So, nobody likes pain, right? Isn't that right, Mike? Nobody right. likes that. And we all want to be happy, don't you? Happy? Yeah. And we all get to die, that's for sure. I mean, at least I think at this point we haven't been able to get rid of that one. But so, there's three things which humans have in common. And gee whiz, why can't we just get along? Just focus on those. But, well,
I'll tell you, that's not true, Greg. You know, I kind of like pain. Ow, I just hurt myself right there. You know, I like to hang out with my friends and suffer with them. You know, misery loves company, right? Well, I bring everybody down by complaining about my pain. Oh, gosh, people.
And once everyone is suffering with me, I tell them how great our president is. And how the liberals, my goodness, they're trying to destroy our democracy. Oh, yes. Oh, well, okay, enough of that.
Who was that, anyway? I thought I blocked that guy and unfriended him, too. How did you get in here today? Well, I'll get...
I'm sorry, Mike. I don't know how you let him in here today. Jeez.
I'll have to lock the studio door next time.
I just saw that pain he loves so much. Jeez. Okay. Whew. So, how are you out there? Are you okay? I'm all right. So, why can't we all just, you know, be kindred souls? You know, we have so much in common, and yet, we're so divided and different these days. There's so many questions and points of view. Oh, I'll tell you. Speaking of Albert Saijo, he has an idea about this. Mama, did you call? I believe at a certain stage in star system formation, out of Mother Light, there is a release of myriad units of zero mass psychic knots into time-like space. Desire bodies. Let's call them souls. Like all entity souls, is an improbable state. Psychic improbability is a stressful state. Soul endures pain of improbable state. Pushed through time like space by stellar radiation, it seeks a vehicle and a place for expressing this pain in a graphic, multidimensional matter. Point Earth. In local universe, is a station where souls who suffer in broadly similar ways congregate. Souls, mineral, vegetable, and animal, each soul calling out its name is what we comprehend as our earth world. The course of soul through births and deaths is cyclic with a wave-like motion. Birth is death and death is birth. They are the same as particle and wave are the same. Every soul knot wants to unravel, relax, and disappear finally. At the same time, every entity wants to perpetuate its identity. Here is a recipe for suffering. At each peak and trough of soul's wave-like course, Mother Light appears and calls to the soul to come home now. Come home now. But souls become enamored of their pain and do not heed the call, even as they hear it. But every soul finally hears clearly and goes home and disappears back into Mother Light.
Oh, Albert, you just have a way of saying it that I completely don't understand.
But that's okay. That's okay, Gregory. That's all right. Here's a little tune that kind of goes along with that. So many questions come from answers that we hear today. Are we seeking a warm and peaceful place to stay? Is there a new life waiting, shining when we pass away? Or oblivion? Father, mother, why do we have to go this only word we have to say. His living, the price we have to pay for oblivion. Oh, there have been many who feel that they have heard a call. There isn't much sorrow since the chosen one was meant to fall. Did he die to save his people one and all from oblivion? Father, mother, why do we have to go this way? Is love the only word we have to say? And is living the price we have to pay from oblivion? Oblivion. Well, you know, fake news. Don't believe everything you hear, right? Or read, or think. By the way, Mike, where is the truth? It's out there.
It's out there.
It's out. The truth is out there. Oh, God. Here we are now, folks. It's out there. Or is it blowing in the wind? It's blowing in the wind.
That's the answer.
Oh, get there. The question's out there in the... Oh, I'm going to get a net. See if I can catch the wind. Oh, why, we might as well catch the wind. It was all there when in the 60s, but then we forgot it. Very well. It's all pretty confusing for sure. But if you don't know what's going on, I don't either. Oh, don't tell me about the truth anymore. I don't believe it anymore. When black is white, red, black is white, yes means no, red is green, stop means go. Hey, when that's the truth, you choose to show. No, don't tell me about the truth anymore, 'cause I don't believe it, oh, why, anymore. About the weather, swim across the bay, run around the world, day after day, same time is short, life goes on, same old story, same old song. No, don't tell me about the truth anymore, 'cause I don't believe anymore. Thank you. Now you tell me that you love me, stick me with a knife, leaving everlasting scars for the rest of our life. Life goes on, that's for sure. Hey, don't talk now, I got a party going on. Don't tell me about the truth anymore, 'cause I don't believe it anymore. Wow, wow. It's all pretty confusing. I'm not really that bad, but, you know, come on, come on. I've heard a lot of stories. I can't believe them all. I guess you should believe in yourself. And hopefully, you like yourself. I love you, train singer.
Well, I love you too, Greg. And you know I'll never leave you.
Oh, really, train? Hey, this is Greg. And train of him, too. We're riding with you on the BPE on KLLGLP, 97.9 FM. You know, I was cleaning the files. My files got some old Greg stuff and some old train singer stuff, and I was looking for something in particular, by the way, which I didn't find. But while I was in there, I came across some short stories that I wrote in college and later on, too. So since, you know, it's all about today, me, me, me. I mean, why not? If you have a radio show, why shouldn't it be about you, you, you? It's like singing a bunch of cover songs. Well, that's cool. Well, Greg, what are you talking about? I don't know. But I thought I'd share another side of Gregory, other than his music and his wit and his... Hey, what about me, Greg? Well, that's okay, train. We'll hear from you a little later, all right? Hey, I happen to have majored in English at Cal State Long Beach, and my specialty, upper division, was creative writing and poetry and short stories. That was my focus at the time. And I was going right along there, but midway through my junior year, I got the idea. If I took a little acid, you know, I might be a little more creative, you know? So it's the kind of thinking that somebody's been betting on smoking a joint before taking a test. You thought that was advantageous too, right? Oh, my God, the 60s, right? Well, anyway, hey, you don't have to bear with me if you don't want to, but this story by Greg is what happens, and it's called Victor. Now I'm going to put my guitar down.
There you go, Greggy!
And this off. Oh, I feel much better now. So, the setting is Terminal General Hospital. And a woman named Victoria Lieber. Maybe she's Jewish. But anyway, Lieber. And she's about ready to give birth. Oh! Oh, my God! Gasped Victoria Lieber. Flagellating pearls coroned a large oval cell. A million beating whips concealed the entry of a single cell. An electric charge polarized the fluid within the halo disk, and it was done. The newly activated droplet split in two, then four, then eight, 16. Division continued, transforming a caviar blob into a Beatles balloon, or so it looked like. 4 months slipped past before Victor Lieber vaguely experienced his initial sensation. Warmth and tranquility settled deep in Victor's semi-conscious awareness. With a syncopating tap, 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 droned him into a deep sleep. The word Terminal General Hospital frosted the flashing chrome receiver of Dr. Seek's stethoscope as he depressed Victoria's engorged abdomen. Here, the doctor said, making the clicking instrument, handing it to Victoria. Listen carefully, and you can hear it beating. Oh, I can! I can hear him! Wait, wait! Yes! I can! I can! You're doing very well, Mrs. Lieber. All is completely normal. Strange, muffled noises penetrated Victor's eggshell skull and induced an awareness of security for him. He became aware of a silent movement quite close to his face as his tiny foot slipped along a smooth, warm surface, reminiscent of soapy bathtub porcelain. He kicked again and dissolving back into a deep sleep. However, as if carried by delicate bubbles, thoughts and strange visions began to take shape in Victor's head. Amboid bursts of red eclipsed into shapes of green that folded and ribboned into broad blue fronds. Banana-beaked birds shrieked and clicked from the hidden limbs. And the voice of a feeding leopard growled close by. Within his watery glove, Victor perceived the hauntingly beautiful form of a man. The suddenly familiar face blanched. Froth flicked from each corner of the mouth. And the fearful eyes screamed with wide silence. A twig snapped inside Victor's ear, and the man bolted, quickly disappearing into a gooey window that oozed and flowed toward Victor's incipient reality, eventually enveloping it deep within a mumbling, numbing, yellow-brown sleep. Surges of energy returned his nebulous consciousness again to the face of a familiar man. The man's eyes were so downcast and fixed upon two naked feet. 10 toes perched on the rim of an extremely high cliff, the very edge of which bended and furled like a swimming snake. Suddenly, the form leaped clear of the writhing serpent. Wind whistled and crashed in Victor's ears. As the hurtling form disappeared into the great blue plate of a sea. Victor, aged 255 days, excuse me, opened his eyes, flooding them with wet blackness.
I can't see, he thought. I can't see. I?
He repeated to himself. I? Me? I? The warmth of his hidden cave left him at that word.
I,
he thought. And his world began to freeze and close in. He felt his chest cramp and tighten in leaps as I continued to pop up like no sale on a cash register. Victor longed for his retreating security. He strained and twisted in frantic efforts to restore the warmth to his body. Warmth, release, warmth, release, he repeated mechanically. A jet of liquid heat curled into his stomach as placid, black pools seemed to deepen before his vision. But black quickly browned, then slowly, at first, formless material began to revolve, creating spirals of red and white. Oh, presently, the rotating picture increased its speed to a humming spin. Hum! Presently, the rotating picture increased its speed, and strange forms began to appear at its center. A black pinpoint loomed larger, and from its center spewed splashes of flesh-colored drops. Behind this movement, Victor could make out the face. the pinwheeling distorted face, as vitreous eyes turned toward him and beckoned his attention. The eyes appeared to be kind eyes that hopelessly tried to gaze with love upon him. At first, the face corduroyed with age, but then suddenly the deep lines which crisscrossed the staring face began to fade, and the face grew younger. Ugly cuts and abrasions flitted across the changing visage. Tears welled as the face grew still younger. Soon the eyes were spilling with grief. Victor felt he could taste the salt tears, and he began to feel a familiar tightness walling at his breast. The face continued to grow younger. Victor flinched with terror. I know you, he thought. Rhythmically, the face grew younger and smaller. A red complexion pinked and became smooth and fresh. Then the eyes snapped shut. The small face contorted into a gasping scream. Long, pearly gloved fingers expertly withdrew the newborn child. It's a boy, Victoria! And with his right hand, the doctor upended the child, and with a rubbery slap from his left, jerky howling filled the delivery room of Terminal General Hospital. Okay, well, what do you expect? You know, I don't recommend you take acid and going to write some kind of story. Otherwise, there's a lot of swirling weird things and talking from the womb, and well, that's pretty strange, really. Yes, it is. But I got over that, and I got reborn several times. Okay. Oh, boy, Greg. That's pretty out there. Somewhat psychedelic, I'd say.
Hey, have you seen my psychedelic T-shirt? Psychedelic senior?
Okay. God, I'm getting carried away here. Sounds like a little bit of tripping out going on the Bipolar Express today on KLLGLP 97.9 FM, Willets, California. But what do you expect on the Bipolar Express? I don't recommend acid as a prelude for writing. But stories, by the way, they'll be saying,
oh, they just don't understand it. You don't understand my visions.
That's right. So, moving right along, Gregory, with story time with Greg, yes. Here's a true event, and it was so memorial that I actually sat down and I wrote a story about it. True story with the names unchanged to protect the guilty. It's called, this happened, by the way, on the corner there, Tomkai. There's a house right there after the bridge. That's where he lived for a while. So, a lot of rattlesnakes under that place. It's called Rattlesnake in the Yard. Rattlesnake in the Yard! Oh, Rattlesnake in the Yard, I yelled, as a 5-foot-long rattler came slithering swiftly into our front yard from the field across the road. He continued gliding toward the old apple tree and the swing where my son Gus was playing. Gus, get out of the yard! Get out of the yard, I repeated. But too frightened to run, he jumped on the swing and he shinnied up halfway one of the ropes and just held on, looking down. Well, hearing my shouts, my wife, Donna, she came running too from the next door, just in time to see me toss a board at the snake, causing it to stop. Get the gun, I shouted. Well, where is it? She cried. It's on the mantel. The snake raised its head, and the birds began to chatter and fly low into the yard, sounding the alarm. By now, my 2-year-old daughter, Heidi, had come out of the house also to see the snake, too. Uh-oh. Here it is, Donna said. She handed me the .22 pistol. Now, eyeing the snake, I noticed a brick near the writhing form. I dared not shoot for fear of a ricochet. So, at least I was thinking clearly. But it wasn't long before I had my chance as the snake began to move toward the apple tree and the swing. Again. So my first two shots missed. Pew, pew. Ah, great. The serpent seemed unconcerned as I positioned myself for the fatal third and fourth shots. Pusha! Pusha! The third bullet struck the snake's head, and immediately the rattles began to sound. Oh, gotcha! As the mangled head swayed grotesquely back and forth. I tried the fourth shot, and the snake was dead. Oh. While using a broom handle, I carried the snake out of the yard and removed the head, which I buried due to its poison content. Yeah, and then my son, he climbed down from the swing, and while we all watched as I skinned and cleaned the snake carcass. Well, just then some passerby stopped the car and came on the scene, and they said, "Hey, you know, a live rattler is worth a lot more. They use them to get the snake venom, the anti-venom stuff from them." And then someone else said, "Oh, yeah, you can get money for that skin there, boy." Well, personally, I don't like to kill snakes or any living things I don't intend to eat. So for years, I've heard that rattlesnake meat was delicious, and our 5-foot specimen was no exception. Why, tasted a lot like lobster or crab. You know, you have to pick at it, though. You know, don't bother with the rib part. The back straps are best, steamed and served with garlic and melted butter. Boo! Bon appetit. True story, Gregory. Yeah, it sounds true to me, too. So, listen, I just happen to have a song that kind of goes along with that. A little bit of musical interlude here through all that ridiculous stuff you're doing, Greg. War, come on, take my wedding. Whoa. Dark shadows, blades of grass, eyes of serpent. Eyes of the serpent, dark shadow, blaze of grass. Eyes of the serpent and his child. You got to catch him in the open. Catch him in the open. Catch him in the open to be his friend. He remember gentle fire. You remember the gentle fire from your hand. Be his friend. You got to catch him in the open. Catch him in the open. Catch him in the open. Be his friend. Shadow, blaze of grass, eyes the serpent, eyes the serpent, he dark shadow, whoa, whoa, blaze of grass, eyes the serpent, his child, oh, he remember the gentle fire from your hand, he remember. You got to catch him in the open. Catch him in the open. Catch him in the open and be his friend. You got to catch him in the open. In the open. In the open and be his friend. You got to catch him in the open. In the open. In the open and be his friend. Mm-hmm.
brothers, eh? You want to be my friend?
Oh, hey! Gee, he bit me. I was just reading. It's his nature, Gregory.
Pretty weird, huh? Hey, come on. Catch the BPE in the open. Tune in to KLLG LP 97.9 and let's all be friends. Hi, friend. Hey, don't block me. Hey, it's said that we all have a totem animal. An animal spirit. One of my granddaughters. Let me put this guitar down again.
Hurry. There you go. It's okay. I'll be back.
Okay, I was going to say. One of my granddaughters, she's a wolf. And another one of my granddaughters, she's a cat, although sometimes she's a dog. And, well, you know, it depends on how she feels, I guess. But when I was a kid, I loved to run. And I was taken by the cheetah and its speed. So I guess as a child, the cheetah was kind of my ride, you might say. So, but the beat poet Lou Welch actually writes a little bit about this particular phenomenon. And this is called the Rider Riddle. If you spend as much time on the mountain as you should, she will always give you a sentient being to ride. Animal, plant, insect, reptile, or any of the numberless forms. Hey, what do you ride? You know, there's only one right answer for every person, and only that person can really know what it is. There's a commentary by the Red Monk, which is Lou. Manjushri rode a tiger, one just as fierce as he rode a mouse. There is no one who can tell you what the answer is. The mountain will show you. So, hey, I ask you out there, folks. Hey, what do you ride? Hey, what do you ride? What do you ride? All right, now I'm riding a 2020. No. Is your totem animal a car? No, that's not a living thing. Okay. So, while I was living in Redway, I have to say I caught my first steelhead trout. Oh, my God, what a thrill. I was so excited, I didn't even know how to reel it. I just ran up the beach and dragged the thing in. But after that, I just really love to catch and to fish for the steelhead or the rainbow trout. So I guess you might say I was hooked on fishing. So, hey, here's a story. This is the last one, so hold on. Now, this is my story about what my totem animal had become. And actually, I'll tell you, it was a trout. Okay.
Hey, Greg, were you a fish? Oh, I smell like that. Oh, stop that.
This is called Fishman. Pretty original right there. Okay. Ken Fishman loved fish in an extraordinary way. He became obsessed with seeking them out, even in his dreams. As a child, Ken caught his first fish with a drop line from the rocks off the coast of Maine. Other fishermen were catching fish nearby. Beneath him, he saw flashes of silver and as fish tore at the bait. As the silver white fish were pulled from the waves, he became mesmerized and excited. Oh, look at, he imagined he was a fish swimming and darting with the others below. Suddenly, he lost his balance and he slipped from the rocks, plunging into the salt water. Luckily, quick hands pulled him out. Oh, wow, what a fish, what a fish, what a fish, was all he could say for days afterward. From that time on, his enthusiasm never waned. His growing desire to stalk and catch fish made him a very familiar figure around ponds, lakes, creeks, and rivers, where he caught everything from yellow perch to pickerel, shiners to suckers, catfish to bass, plus all varieties of trout. His favorite became the rainbow trout. As the years rolled by, Ken found most of the hiding places of the rainbow in his part of the country. But his urge to seek out the shining swimmers only grew with the passage of time. Following his love of fishing, he eventually moved west, where the beauty of the Sierras and the opportunity to go after the large, almost mystical, rainbows made him settle in the mountains. There, he sought his favorite fish in the clear lakes and secluded feeder streams, hidden high and away from fishermen with less enthusiasm than his. High and away, he peered around tree trunks and over boulders to observe rare, monstrous beauties as they languished midstream, tails moving imperceptibly in the crystal flow. It wasn't long before the natives and the old-timers in town noticed Ken's way with the fish. They called him with respect with his last name, Fishman. And they all shared their secret stories of a giant rainbow trout trapped above the Great Falls. Now, legend had it that many years ago, three maidens and a child became separated from a band of traveling Indians. Drawn by the roar of the Great Falls, they found themselves at the base of a thundering wall of water. Apparently, hoping for a better view of the valley from which they had come, they struggled up the huge boulders with their child to the top of the falls. However, when searchers finally tracked them down, only the young child remained. He told them that the women had turned into fish and had jumped into the water. Well, afterward, the Indians declared the falls sacred ground and never returned. Well, Ken found the story amusing, but he was eager to see if Great Falls really existed. One of the storytellers drew him a rough map of the area, pinpointing the trail to the falls. Well, the next day, Ken left the main roads behind and drove for miles along deserted skid roads and through thick brush. Unable to drive any further, he parked his jeep and struck out walking. Thick manzanita and scrub oak and gargantuan boulders seemed to dwarf the surrounding peaks, making access to the creek next to impossible. But carefully following his map, Ken drew closer and closer to the falls. Calling birds and the usual rustling in the trees began to fade as the steady rumbling roar of the Great Falls washed out all other mountain sounds. Pushing through a final clump of brush, he found himself standing at the foot of an 80-foot fall of water that seemed to cascade as liquid diamonds onto a flat shelf of rock. He was completely awestruck by the cold, clear water, and he felt his dream rainbow was nearby. "Sacred ground," he mumbled as he shouldered his small pack and grabbing tightly to his fishing rod. Yes. Like a human fly, he crept up the almost sheer rock face until at last he gained footing about 50 yards upstream from the falls. Peering down, he saw a clean, narrow pool running between two sheer cliffs. Shadows, huge shadows, dart from side to side, betraying the presence of several very large fish, which he knew had to be the giant rainbow trout. The sun struck high on the cliff wall by the time Ken
had maneuvered within casting range down into the shadowy gorge. With intuitive skill, he easily dropped his hook near what had to be a 40 or 50 pound trout, clearly visible in the crystal water. And immediately she rose and took his offering. The rippling clearness of the water gave Ken a flawless view of the great trout as she set the hook and ran. She darted, dove, and flashed into the thin air. And the splashing waves went against the cliff sides as she slapped the water and shot off downstream. His reel was singing as he gave her the line she needed. Holding his rod out to avoid snags, Ken began to scramble over the boulders, down through short water chutes and narrowing crevasses toward the deafening roar of the falls. The roar of the falls was frightening by the time the trout turned from her downstream run. Ken was soaked from stumbling along the treacherous bank. Mist and water pulled past his body toward the thundering brink. Now, the fish swam lazily in the swirling eddy behind the rock jutting out from the ledge where Ken stood. Tired from her flight downstream, she swam from side to side, bumping her snout against the rock as Ken carefully drew her to him. Easing his prize into the shallow water at his feet, he set his rod on shore and stepped into the water. Hands shaking, he reached for the tail. But with a sudden explosion of water, his fish made a surging thrust for freedom and tore loose from the hook. Oh, looking up, Ken saw that she lingered in the shallows not far, maybe 3 feet away. And there was two other ones, giants, right next to her. Instinctively, he made a desperate clutching lunge. His grabbing fingers grasped her, slid along her smooth sides as she broke for the rushing stream beyond the eddy. Pushing frog-like with his feet. Ribbit. Oh, no, don't do that. Ken began to swim. He could see the fish turn into the current and move upstream as the force of the water pushed him down under the water and against the rocks beneath. Excuse me, he said. His lungs burned and he gasped and gasped for air. Incredibly, he began to breathe. He was breathing. His spine kind of shuddered. And it twisted as he swam into the current, following the fish upstream and away from the thundering falls. Joy and euphoria electrified his body as the full impact of his underwater swimming and breathing came to him. Turning his head, he saw that the great fish was next to him now, nudging, brushing gently his side. Encircling him, the trout beat and shuddered against his chest and face and legs. He thought he saw the long strand of a woman's hair as the beautiful female forms moved beside and beneath him, touching him in the water. Then her face appeared next to him, arms reaching, lips parted he embraced his watery companion. 2 days passed before a couple of natives, none of the native storytellers, from the town found Ken's body below the Great Falls.
Oh, Great Spirit! That's Fishman! Oh, looks like he came over the falls, said one of the men. He must have been handling a monster of a fish, too.
Pulling his body from the shallow water, the men noticed shining fish scales clinging to his shirt, hands, and face.
And there's a fish story for you, boys and girls. Ging, 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 ging. What do you think of that, boys?
Got ya. Oh, 10 minutes.
Yeah, he was, God, he was gonna kiss that fish. I mean, he's gonna kiss a fish.
Oh, why not? She was a real beauty.
She was a catch.
She was a real catch, yes. Oh, you smell kind of like fish, honey. I'm ready. All right. This is the BPE on KLLGLP 97.9, and you have been, yes. As you can see, quality control is not in effect on the Bipolar Express. So please, 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 if you have, you know, short stories, some poetry or music, whatever you got, you know, come over and share on BPE. Come on. It's your own radio. This is our own. Hey, it's hometown. It's just like you'd be in your living room or your bathroom, whatever you do, your you know, creative stuff. Hey, you know, Thanksgiving is the next biggie. Hopefully, harvest has been good for you people out there, and you'll all have a little some time to relax and enjoy just playing whatever you want to play and doing whatever you want to do. But how was your harvest? How was your harvest this year, Mike? What did you come up with this year?
The frost.
Oh.
Scorched our tomatoes pretty bad.
Oh, no.
And then it got warm again.
Oh, great. Great, yeah. Well, we had a good harvest of Asian pears, not so much apples. Grapes, yes. Basil and tomatoes. We got our tomatoes out before the frost. We got lucky, I guess. Maybe you were colder down there in the valley.
Yeah, we're colder. We had a lot of apples, a lot of pears.
Oh, God, apples just didn't do it this year for me. But now we have dried tomatoes, dried pears, raisins, and lots of pesto. My wife was very, very busy preserving as much of the harvest as we could. So with this in mind, Trine and I, we thought we'd just do whatever we wanted for the rest of the show. Come on. I don't know what to say, except I'm going to do whatever I want for this show. There's a song that I like to do. It puts a little bit of the spirit in the music. I'm gonna take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing till the rafters ring when I bid this world bye-bye. I know I won't be late, spend my time in prayer. And when my ship come in, I'll leave this world of sin, sailing through the air. Cause I'm gonna take a trip on the old gospel ship, going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing, tell the rafter ring when I bid the world by. Bye.
I'm your time. I'm gonna shout and sing, down about the rain. I'll be in the world, near the world, near the world, my world.
Hallelujah out there, folks. Yes, we are just doing whatever we want. And I hope you are doing whatever you want. Are you going to work? Oh, have a good day at work. Come on. Another beautiful one. I want to get home today before the sun goes down, because one of my favorite things is sitting in my chair with a beer watching the sun go down. Yes, what a nice tan I have. Keep it up, November. 4 minutes. Woo! Well, what the heck can we say? Let's do a little bit of... That's right. Well, why don't you put that thing on, Griggy? You ready to go? Salty it is. I'm standing on the corner, Lord, I'm loose. Great big bone in the bottom of my shoe. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Let me be your salty dog, and I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Woo, yeah. I know you holding a stocking without you. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Woo! Let me be your salty dog. I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Woo!
Oh, look out now.
Yeah, great.
Come on. Salty.
When I'm down in the wild, we're sitting on a log, fling around, triggering out of my. No, gonna be your salty dude. Yeah. Oh yeah. The bullet drew in the gun, said go. That shot land over in Mexico. Oh, let me be your salty dog. Come on. Oh, I sure like it, Greg. How much more time do I got? I got 2 minutes. Oh, well, let me see. Next week, by the way, I'm going to kind of be doing some Thanksgiving stuff, like turkey in the straw and all that stuff. Roll them up and twist them up. High tech a haw. What the heck are they talking about? Turkey in the straw. Hey, well, I wish for you good health and prosperity. For you that are listening right now. And thank you for dancing in fantasy land, doing whatever we can feel, oh yes, and riding with me and train on the Bipolar Express on KLLG LP 97.9 FM Willis. And by the way, you can find more about this radio station by coming down to the Grange sometime and checking out the station when I'm on. Come on down by 1 o'clock. Jump on the show. Woo, woo, woo. And also check out www.klg.org. Org. It's your radio. Come on. Thank you, Mike Burgess. He is the engineer again. And I can't believe this guy, he can take a lot. This is 124 hours of insanity on the BPE. Wee! And he just sits there and laughs and twiddles his thumbs and goes, how many more minutes do we have? Whoa. Not enough, right? I'm riding on the Bipolar Express. I said the Bipolar Express. FM radio, KLLG LP 97.9. FM Willis, California. Hey, 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 hey. Bye, Mike.